Hi, folks. It is Wednesday night on April the 15th. It is tax day. You are listening to WVEW 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. If it's Wednesday night and it's 9 p.m.-ish, you must be listening to, and you are, The Show Is So Gay. My name is Ken.
And I'm Becca.
And we have guests in the studio tonight.
We do. We have very special guests.
There's filming going on.
We're going to be famous.
Yes. There's much, much excitement in the air. So the first thing we want to do is give a very brief shout out to Meg Mott. And Meg Mott is a professor of politics at Marlboro College. And Meg wrote a great, great article that we are going to post on our homepage at thisshowisogay.com for folks to check out. And it's all about marriage and the dilemma that many folks are faced with who were vehemently not for marriage and suddenly are living in a state where marriage, it's perhaps easy to be against marriage when it's not legal. And now that it's legal in some states, it's coming up more and more for folks to question what they believe in and whether or not, now that it's legal, they are willing to get married. So we will post a link to that. Great, great article. And go, Meg. Did you read it? Did you get a chance to read that one?
I did, in fact.
It's good stuff.
It was good stuff.
We have amazing guests tonight. We have filmmakers Dean Hamer and Joe Wilson and all the music that they requested. They'll be calling in a little later on. And I say we start with some news.
Sounds good. All right. Where are we starting?
Let's start down in Texas. You want to start in Texas?
Down in Texas.
Such a good place to start.
Well, hey, Dad.
So Texas and Becca's dad. The first story I was going to report was that Texas Christian University, it was out last week, they were going to offer special housing for students interested in world affairs, the environment, foreign languages. And starting this fall, Becca, they were going to offer theme housing for gay and lesbian issues.
Theme housing? Is it
theme
like
housing?
The gay marriage floor? And
I don't know if it was that specific. It was more like the gay dorm. Would you live in the gay dorm?
I don't know. Like, do they paint the walls special?
No, I think it was just...
Or is it just...
Gays with gays. Oh. Although it wasn't just, it was for allies too, and it was only like 6 or 8 people, but people got really, really upset. Texas Christian University was apparently the first campus in the state to reserve housing for gay students and straight students who support them. So it was this great story, and I was going to highlight this great story. And then today, as I was updating the news for tonight's broadcast, I saw the next story. Texas Christian University has abruptly reversed itself and dropped plans for LGBT student housing. It was a solid week that they were going to do this housing, and then
well,
it was over, following a massive outcry from evangelicals opposed to gay rights. Quotes,
they didn't see this coming in Texas?
Apparently not. Apparently they did not see this coming. The quote from TCU, Texas Christian University, was, TCU will not launch any new living learning communities at this time. Instead, we will assess whether the concept of housing residential students based on themes supports the academic mission of the institution. They not only canceled the gay housing, they canceled all the theme housing. So in addition to canceling the fall launch of LGBT housing, the decision also cancels special housing for students based on patriotism, Christianity, and marine life. Going to be a marine life dorm, and you had to choose between being in the gay dorm or the marine life dorm.
That's got to be a hard call.
I know. It was a little bit rough, and it sparked my top three comments.
Okay, bring it on.
So the top three comments of the week of my favorite for folks that are tuning in for the first time. My new thing is that I read all the comments because I think they're more interesting than the actual stories, and I find the ones that are anti-gay and crack me up the most. In third place, Sodomy 101 with labs.
Oh, God.
I thought that was funny.
Okay.
In second place, and I can't even read the quote because it would violate all our FCC standards, but I'm not a bigot, but, and then just pretend, because I can't read it, that it was the most homophobic stuff. But apparently by starting
can
it by saying I'm not a bigot.
Can you skip some of the words?
No.
Or, no. Okay.
That's how bad it was. But keep in mind, he's not a bigot. And in first place.
Oh, God.
Becca,
what beats that?
The world just isn't what it used to be. It was this very sigh. It was a sigh. It was a lament about gay dorms. And I was sad for that particular poster. How about we play some music?
That sounds like a good idea.
So we were playing a lot of music this evening from the film that we'll be talking later on that our guests worked on. And we'll take it from there. So this is a song called Plow. It's from Nemoli Brennett. And here we go. Thank you.
even so close that if I close my eyes, I am you, and you.
That was a song called Push by an artist, Nimoli Brennett, that our guest tonight chose. And we'll be talking to them in about 10 minutes, filmmakers Dean Hamer and Joe Wilson. How about that whole Amazon thing?
I don't know.
I thought it was a dumb story. So folks who
it
saw this
is a dumb
brouhaha,
story, but we're going with it
well,
anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. So the big gay brouhaha, you couldn't escape this news this week if you were looking at LGBT news, was there was this big thing where all of this gay-themed material on Amazon suddenly got labeled porn in some way.
And so it disappeared from general searches.
It disappeared from the searches, and people were complaining like crazy, and it's a conspiracy, and down with the gays, and they're kicking us under the bus. Is that the phrase?
I don't know.
Throwing us under the bus,
sure.
And kicking us while we're there under the bus. But Amazon came out... not of the closet, but out of the technological brouhaha, and said that it wasn't really their fault.
Their PR people really didn't do the best job saving themselves on this, though. They just said there was a glitch and never said more. And so people were up in arms thinking maybe it was a hacker, maybe someone at Amazon really hates gay people. And it sounds like it was a language issue. And some French developer hit the wrong button, basically.
And our friendly neighborhood gay poll was focused on the Amazon issue. So everything going on out there right now, the most important thing going on is apparently the Amazon issue.
Well,
so
there
Becca,
was apparently a giant boycott.
People went nuts over the gays.
And I missed it, and I bought my iPod. So like the biggest purchase I've made on Amazon
was
in
during the
months,
gay brouhaha.
Like probably in the last year.
Yeah. You were supposed to be boycotting, Becca. You're not
and
supporting the LGBT community.
I'm sorry.
So, Becca, the poll question was, do you believe that the removal of gay books from Amazon sales rankings was an accident? Your three answers are no, yes, and not sure. Was it an accident?
Yes.
I said yes, too. You know
what
in,
a coincidence.
You know who's in the minority? That would be us, because 74% of the people, thousands of people who responded to this poll said no, it was not an accident, and only 13% of them said yes, and 13% were not sure. Folks,
maybe they know something that we don't.
I don't think they do. I think they're just looking for a conspiracy. Folks, if you're listening, seriously, it sounds like it was an accident, and let's turn our attention elsewhere.
Can we focus on something more important than Amazon?
Focus on something more important. If we're going to focus on website issues, one of the things we should be focusing on is our friendly neighborhood state, Tennessee. Have you been to Tennessee? Is that one of the states you've been to?
I've been through Tennessee.
You've been to states I've barely can find on a map. Apparently, more
there
than...
There are only 50 of them.
Yeah, but there's a lot I can't find on a map. Apparently, more than 100 Tennessee public school districts are illegally blocking students from accessing information on LGBT issues online, charges the American Civil Liberties Union. According to the ACLU, the internet filtering software that these schools are using, it blocks students' access to the websites like PFLAG, the Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, the Human Rights Campaign, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, and the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. But, Becca, fear not.
I fear not.
Fear not. This web blocking software does not ban them from visiting sites that promote reparative therapy or ex-gay ministries.
Oh, good.
They can still get to those sites.
They can get cured for their gayness, but so they can't.
They can't. They can't learn how to stop saying that so gay, but they can get electroshock.
Well,
therapy.
I've got to say, Brattleboro has a free wireless network on Main Street, and for a while it was blocking gay.com.
Oh, really?
And 365 gay. But one of the days when we were in here and I wanted to fill in the details, like, I don't know, names and dates on a story we were doing.
Why bother yourself with such pesky details?
It did warn me that it was adult content and then it wouldn't let me through. And so there's a place where you can write in, like, hey, this isn't actually a porn site that I'm trying to go to. And they fixed it. I just tested it.
You know where you went wrong, though, in this whole process? It was trying to find out the details of a story.
Right.
I think that's really what led to
the
downfall.
That's not what we do here.
You and your names and dates. I like the broad strokes of the story. Who
we
did
like, we
something
like
bad
the
to
emotion
a gay?
Yes. Behind it. You just want to get fired up so you can yell.
I'm not going to be yelling tonight. It's kind of a mellow day. It was beautiful
You're
outside
like the gay
today.
Howard Stern.
Wow, there's something that I hope to never be called ever again. What does that make you, though?
I have no idea.
Okay. I don't even think I've ever listened to Howard Stern.
The less informed Rachel Maddow. Less informed, less clever.
I strive to be the less informed Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
That's like a title I could go for. So our plea out to our friends in Tennessee, because, you know, I think we're huge in Tennessee. Huge.
I think we might even have a listener.
I don't think we do.
You're from Tennessee,
if you're from Tennessee, we will give you a magnet.
You probably don't want to wear a t-shirt.
Yeah, well, we're not going to give you a t-shirt, but if you are listening from Tennessee, send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com.
And we'll find you an apartment in Brattleboro.
We will find you an apartment in Brattleboro. Becca will put you up for a week, and we will send you a magnet. So obviously we will have to confirm that you live in Tennessee, because we will be sending you a magnet. So we need an address. So I don't want one of these, oh, I'm touring through New York City, and so send it there, because we don't believe you. We don't believe
you're from
Tennessee.
We are going to send you a magnet and a secret password. So you're going to have to get the magnet and then tell us what the secret word was.
That's what it's going to be.
Which reminds me that no one has won our secret password contest from the first five shows.
That's dead to me, that contest. That contest was a good idea for about 5 seconds, and then I was kind of over it.
Short attention spans.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the theme of the show. You want to play another song?
Absolutely.
Let's do another song.
What have we got?
This is another song by Naomi Brennett, and this is called Rough Enough. Thank you. All right, how about we welcome some guests?
Sounds good to me.
Guests, are you there?
We certainly are.
All right, well now sit back and let's introduce you. This is our first time having two guests at the same time for the price of one. You're not charging us, are you, guests?
We'll go get the bill in the mail.
Okay, it's tax day. We
You'll
can't
get
afford
the check
today.
In the mail, too.
Dean Hamer, scientist turned filmmaker Dean Hamer, has written three award-winning nonfiction books, including The Science of Desire, which was a New York Times Book of the Year. His debut film, The Preacher and the Poet, was a winner of the PBS Independent Lens Online Shorts Festival. In collaboration with QWaves.com partner Joe Wilson, who we'll introduce in a second, he has produced over a dozen pieces for national cable television and won numerous awards, including the Audience Prize at the 1 in 10 Film Festival, Best Short Film at the Barcelona Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, runner-up in the, gosh, Dean, this is a lot of awards, in the Seeds of Tolerance competition, and was the official selection at a ton of different film festivals all across the world. He is joined on the line by Joe Wilson, who is a documentary filmmaker who focuses on controversial and often ignored human rights issues. His first film, Otros Amores, about other ways of living in Oaxaca, Mexico, won the Videomaker Magazine National Documentary Challenge. Since then, Joe has produced and directed over a dozen pieces for national cable television and won numerous awards, many of the same awards that Dean has won. Dean and Joe, welcome to the show, It's So Gay, with Ken and Becca.
It's nice to be on It's Okay.
How are you both doing?
Just great, thank you.
Are you guys in the same room right now?
No, I'm in my study and Joe is in his study.
Separate studies.
Is that how to make it work?
Is that, yes.
Is that the key?
We went right for relationship
it's
advice.
When you're married to one another and live with one another and work together with one another, that there just be a little bit of separate space in the house.
Okay. Who has the nicer study?
I have the bigger one.
Joe, would you like to weigh in on that?
I think, you know, they're each nice in their own way.
Very diplomatic. Well, we want to talk about the film that you guys have been working on in a couple seconds, but can you weigh in on some of the gay news this week? Can we throw some news stories out at you and get your opinions on them?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, as many of our listeners know, this week marks the week that many schools honor the Day of Silence. And the Day of Silence, for folks that don't know, is a day where a number of students, teachers, staff sign a pledge to be silent for the day, to represent students who don't currently have a voice, LGBT students who don't currently have a voice. And every year around this time, there's a big protest from various evangelical groups or faith-based groups that say, hey, you should pull your kids from school this day because it's school-sponsored indoctrination of gay people, because, you know, that's apparently what we have time to do. My thing about the Day of Silence, I'm always kind of conflicted about the Day of Silence, because it strikes me it should never be a day of silence, but a day of shouting. And you
well,
two...
Well, I find it really upsetting because the Day of Silence implies that they don't have voices, that right. We don't have voices. Hey, we have voices.
We have
use
voices.
Them. And, we're loud.
And one of the things that you two have focused on just so well is representing those without a voice. And so I kind of want to get your take on the Day of Silence and how you go about providing that voice to a community that desperately needs one.
I think that in small rural communities and conservative communities that activities like the Day of Silence are incredibly important. And in fact, that played out in the small town that we've been working in Pennsylvania, where they had a Day of Silence this last year, and some of the kids came in supporting gay causes and gays' rights, people's rights to exist, and other kids came in wearing T-shirts saying, oh, gays should die, that it's a sin and that it's wrong. And in that case, the school compromised by sending all of them home.
Wow.
It's really indicative of how just by making an argument about something as simple as respecting people's rights, you know, there really needs to be a voice for people.
Absolutely. Gosh.
We're spoiled here.
I think
part of why we forget.
Absolutely. Wow. And I've been at schools where they've done the Day of Silence, and some students have said this is the most empowering thing, and other students have been really frustrated where they wanted to just yell, but... the solution of sending students home, that's a great solution for that, and a brave administrator, and we celebrate that. So great. One of the others...
Well, that's interesting you talk about bravery, because in this little area called Venango County, there was one school where the administration and the school board were really threatened by a fundamentalist, a woman who runs the Family Values Coalition in Pennsylvania, and they didn't even allow the Day of Silence. They wouldn't let kids wear T-shirts. And right down the street, 4 or 5 miles away in another town, they stood up to that and said, hey, you have a constitutional right to speak or not to speak on the Day of Silence. And that can really make a difference in that second school. The kids got together and actually have now organized a very small, very quiet, but still an organization, a Gay Straight Alliance. So just a little bit of bravery can go a long way in communities where it takes a lot of bravery to speak up.
Absolutely. And it really is those small acts of bravery. It doesn't have to be this grand organizing of a huge community. It really is right. Taking some of those small steps. And if everybody does that, we can move forward. So as two men who have separate studies, but you know, are well-versed in some of the marriage issues out there, What's your take on everything that's going on right now for marriage? I mean, you can't escape a marriage story in the news. And we've been reporting it for the past couple weeks and certainly are living in a state that had a lot of marriage news last week in Vermont. How are you feeling about one of the stories that was out there that I was struck by was the marriage initiatives that are going on in New York State right now. Some of the senators are saying, you know, this is not the time for marriage. Is this the time to be talking about marriage? Is this where our attention should be? Are there other issues to which we should be focusing our attention? What do you make of all the marriage stories?
Joe?
That was very deft, Dean.
Speaking of marriage issues, coming on the program, I was looking at the Brattleboro Reformer to see what was going on up in that neck of the woods. And I see the number one most viewed story on the website today is a keen New Hampshire man threw tomahawk at wife.
So, oh my gosh, we didn't even see that one.
A glimpse of those good old traditional family values.
Yeah.
I understand the debate that's going on, you know, about within the GLBT community about what issues, you know, should be pushed, you know, to make the most difference to the most people. I think marriage is a very important symbolic issue. That once it is achieved, it will help people to see GLBT people, GLBT families in different ways, in better ways. But I think there's a lot of other things that we should be working on to address the range of issues that people confront in their lives, whether it comes to preventing discrimination in the workplace and housing in other areas, hate crimes issues, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think there's any one thing we should be focusing on. I think we all should be doing what we believe we can in our own ways and know that every little bit matters and is important.
Yeah, and that's so important, and that's what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, is that if you ask a lot of different communities what they think the big issue in the gay community right now, a lot of folks think that the only issue right now in the gay community is gay marriage, and there's so much else going on. And so we actively support all the different efforts out there, but we actively resist being defined solely by this one issue.
Right, though I did have someone ask me just 2 days ago, well, if you're not going to talk about gay marriage, then what are you going to talk about?
Like,
what are
else.
The other issues? Are there other issues? And I stared blankly at them for a moment, not because I couldn't come up with another issue, but because I couldn't believe that that no one else was thinking about hate crimes and
absolutely
immigration issues.
Well,
and the whole
I think
list.
You know, it shouldn't be the only issue. And if everybody would just be like in Vermont and say, "Fine, you can get married," then we could move on.
That is basically what happened here too.
Yeah.
It was fine, whatever.
Whatever. Let's move on to some other things. Now, have you two had a chance to check out my favorite video of the past couple weeks, the Storm is Gathering video?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Made by the National, what is it again, Becca?
National Organization for Marriage.
Have you seen this one? The National Organization for Marriage's ad
but
that they have
you.
Out?
Oh, we haven't seen that one. We've seen similar ones from the American Family Association and many other organizations about, is this about all the disasters that are going to occur?
Oh, plagues. Frogs, I think, and all these other plagues that are going to happen, apparently, if gay marriage happens.
Yeah, we're
all
doomed.
Yeah, I've just been looking at my dog with more and more desire to get married. I mean, you know, what is going to be next?
Joe, you might want to step in at some point during the dog conversation. Yeah, so as filmmakers, what do you make of some of these? On a purely a film critique theory, I am fascinated by some of these ads. With the gathering clouds in the background and the rain starts to fall.
Well, this is all very clever. I mean, we've got the Republicans throwing teabagging parties against taxes, and we also have them now having a national organization for marriage with a rainbow as their logo. I mean, really, they're out-gaying the gays big time.
Well,
how do we respond?
These things are ridiculous and amusing on some levels, but I have to say it's similar to what we've encountered in northwestern Pennsylvania over the past 4 years. It was the kind of response that we received to just putting a simple wedding announcement in the newspaper in the town where I happened to grow up, a town called Oil City. Many, many ridiculous, hateful things were said. similar to, I think, what you're referring to with this announcement. And these things actually resonate with a certain segment of the population. And when you're dealing with, communities in rural America in particular, if there aren't voices to counter those kinds of things, then, they play out in often negative ways.
Yeah.
I mean, in schools, among kids, et cetera. So funny on some levels, but deadly serious on others. And I think we need to look for ways to really address what's behind this kind of stuff.
And you've touched on it a bit, but can we back up a step and tell our listeners about Out in the Silence?
Dean, would you want to give the synopsis?
Well, I guess 5 years ago, Joe proposed to me and I accepted. And we decided to get married. We went up to Canada where it's legal, and we didn't think that they would rescind our marriage. And that was very nice. I put an announcement in the New York Times because that's the newspaper I grew up reading. And Joe decided to put the same announcement in the Oil City Derrick, which is the newspaper in the tiny little town he grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania. And it caused quite a stir up there. As Joe said, there was a lot of really negative pushback and some pretty bad things said. But there were also people in the community that said, hey, we should be more tolerant and we should be more modern than that, who started a real civic discourse over this.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that was pretty fascinating, so we started going up to Oil City and seeing what was going on up there.
Did you still have family in Oil City?
Joe, his family had moved out of town, although he still had a few relatives up there.
Okay.
And, of course, some friends from high school and other people who knew him. It turns out that the house he grew up in was now inhabited by a very fundamentalist minister who too happy when we knocked on his door. But the house just two doors down from that was the home to a really wonderful lesbian businesswoman who became an important part of the film through her efforts to try to renovate an old theater downtown.
Joe, can you talk a little bit about returning to that area and kind of how you were able to use... I'm sure this inspired a lot of pretty strong emotions in you to see both the reaction to the announcement and the process of filming it. How did your emotions play into the filming of this movie?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, like many young people who grow up in a small town where there aren't a lot of opportunities, I left, when I graduated high school to go to university and, just kind of kept moving on. And so it's been about 25 years since I actually lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's always been a very important, held a very important place in my heart. I have great nostalgia for it. It's a beautiful area. But it also was a place that I just didn't feel like I could make a home for myself just because, it's not accepting of people who are gay or lesbian, or perhaps there are some other things on the list as well. But, going back in this context, I have to say it was difficult on some levels, but as Dean mentioned, there were a lot of responses in the newspaper that countered that very conservative, so-called religious point of view that mm-hmm. is anti-gay. And that heartened me. I think it heartened us, greatly to go back and really explore what that was about and try to see, what we or what others might be able to do to support some of those people who hold more, progressive views, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And when you were out there interviewing people, and as you said, and I saw some clips, there were some pretty darn strong negative reactions to being approached. What was your first reaction like? I would think that for me it would be so difficult to remember, oh wait, I'm filming something and I want to get this all down and it's not, I don't need to have a quick biting retort, otherwise this is not going to go very far. What were those first couple seconds like for you when you wanted to get some of those reactions on film?
In some ways it was kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Actually. I mean, I think one of the most kind of amazing moments for us was there was a woman who wrote a letter that was on some level laughable, but on others just really vicious, the kinds of anti-gay sentiments you hear coming out of groups like the American Family Association,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. because she wrote all of these horrible things, and it took us about a year or so, but we finally convinced her to sit down and do an interview with us on camera in her home. And the moment that we walked into her house, I'll never forget how, just kind of how terrifying.
I'm a little scared right now.
I don't know that I would be brave enough to go into this woman's house.
Joe's a very brave person and also a very, very calm-headed person. So one of the incredible things in the film is that he's able to be respectful to people that are saying things that aren't really respectful. And he stuck me behind the camera and told me to keep my mouth shut, which was a good move because I would have been a little bit more angry about some of the things that were said.
Did you ever feel unsafe going into people's homes and interviewing them like that?
I don't think we really felt unsafe, in those personal situations. But I do think that we were wary about kind of being in the area sometimes because
right.
we did... think become known as the two guys who were actually, we were kind of portrayed as being outsiders back there trying to stir things up. So, sometimes I did wonder if...
I think we were more concerned about some of the people. It's easy for us because we could always leave at the end of the day.
Right.
But I think we were a little bit more concerned about some of the gay folks that lived there full time, especially one of the high school kids who we worked with. Who, kids can be pretty vicious, and we were really concerned about him.
So no gay straight alliance there at the high school?
No, he was in a school, actually, that was run by a really anti-gay, anti-black, anti-everything type of guy who was supported by the school board. And so there was very little organized support, and it was that lack of resources that was really one of the motivations for us to keep going back to the area.
And what was leaving like? I would imagine that this actually fostered a connection with Oil City that was much different than what you'd previously had, Joe, growing up there. And was there ever temptation to say, you know what, I'm going to move back here because I can make a difference here? I take that as a no.
I have to say, sometimes I do really think places like Oil City are quite attractive and quite appealing. I think a lot of places in Vermont, remind me of Oil City. It's just, now I think, the economy there just really
right.
makes it, too challenging to go there and make a decent living, even though the community now is trying to kind of recast itself as a place where artists can come. It's a beautiful community. It's full of, Victorian houses and, beautiful old industrial buildings, much like you find in New England, that could be a great home to people who are looking and create in this kind of environment. But for me, that kind of conservative milieu, I think, would just be a little bit too limiting.
Yeah. How about you, Dean?
I think it's a charming place, and I think we'll continue a relationship with it. I'm not sure about actually moving back. My job and my work and all the work that I do is here in Washington, D.C., but we certainly have a tight connection with the place, and I think that will continue.
So what's next? What are you all working on right now? Are we working on distributing the movie more, getting more folks to check it out?
I think what we're really working on is an outreach and an outgrowth of the film, which is to try and establish some sort of network or online community or virtual world that will help people in places like Oil City to connect with one another, because that's really the most empowering things, and to build communities even in places where it's difficult to figure out who else is gay or who else might be gay-friendly. So we've had this idea for something called StarNet that would help people in places like Oil City all around the country to connect.
Great. And we'd love to hear a little bit about the role of some of this music in the movie, too. We adore when our guests choose the music because we know that it says something about you and the choices you're making. So we played a few songs already for, and tell me
and
if I'm saying...
they were from the same artist.
Namoli Brennett, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, why don't you tell them about Namoli?
Namoli, of course I got it wrong.
Yeah, her name is Namoli Brennett. Namoli is somebody that we encountered when we first started this project because I was thinking about, documentary film, we need some good music to go with it. So I searched all over the internet for indie singer-songwriter artists whose music might really line up with what we're trying to do, and I discovered Namoli. And She is actually based in Tucson, Arizona, a transgender singer-songwriter whose music, you know, just kind of, you know, knocked me over when I first heard it. And she was really excited about the project, and when we were first beginning, we invited her to come to Venango County and do a concert that we thought might inspire people there. And she came, and it's been kind of a love affair ever since. She does shows in Oil City and the area all the time now, a couple times a year, and has really built up a great following there. And we just see her as, you know, a really creative artist who is blazing a trail and inspiring people all over the world. So we're just thrilled that she's part of the project with us.
And so then, on my behalf, you will personally call her and apologize that I've mispronounced her name about 14 times already? That would be much appreciated.
She got that name because it rhymes with an anomaly. So
okay.
I think that she's pretty used to having it mispronounced.
All right. I'm going to get it right from now on. And Dean, tell us a little bit about Set Me Free by Goddess, which we'll be playing in a couple
Godess
seconds.
Oh, Godess is a great a lesbian
Did
rapper.
Did you just say Godess?
At Godess.
So I got that wrong, too.
And she is the another singer who does the sort of the chant or the musical part. And she's a little tough little lesbian rapper out of Detroit, I think.
Wisconsin.
Out of Wisconsin. And she's making a name for herself on the hip-hop circuit, which, of course, is traditionally a bit homophobic. But she really caught our attention in another movie. And when she got on stage in front of a bunch of rough guys and said, "Hey, you and I both like the same thing." And then she said the P word. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And so, and you both will be up in Vermont next week, will you not?
We'll be there on Monday, and we'll be showing the film and talking about it and talking about what makes people gay and what makes people religious and interesting stuff like that.
So,
and that's April 20th, 7 p.m. at Marlboro College at Whittemore Theater.
So folks who are listening should absolutely check that out. Becca, are you going?
I am going. I'm there. I'm there already. I'm waiting.
Now, Dean and Joe, this is ironically the weekend I'm going out of town. I'm, of course, going to D.C., so I think we're trading spots for a couple days. I'm not thrilled about it, but, you know, Becca's going to give me the full report.
I will.
Sounds good.
Okay. Dean and Joe, it is an absolute pleasure having you on the show. We wish you all the best in creating those communities. There are so many communities out there like Oil City and having some online options for folks to get together and chat and be able to share those stories is so huge, and we're so appreciative that you're providing this place on film for some of these voices to be heard. It's just some great work.
Absolutely, and please keep us up to date with what your next project is and StarNet as it develops.
Will do.
And maybe share the study one night. Just see what it's like.
Okay. Well,
all right.
We do share a bedroom.
Well, there you go. I guess that's enough. That's enough. Dean and Joe, thank you so much for being on the show. All the best.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks guys.
Too.
I'm
That was Godess singing a song called "Set Me Free." I apologize to all the musical artists we've had on tonight because I've gotten both of their names wrong.
We're going to start a new research project for next week.
Next week, maybe we'll play the Indigo Girls. I'm just trying to pronounce it
differently.
Sounds good. So, what do you got over there? I know we're a little lacking on happy news. We acknowledge that.
I know. We always try to end on a positive note, and
not so much this week.
Not so much this week. Okay. Well, the Day of Silence is on the 17th, which is Friday.
Yep.
That started in 1996 at the University of Virginia, which is interesting because one of our news stories is from the University of Virginia. Apparently, on April 4th, there was an anti-gay attack, is what they're calling it. And there was, there were two men leaving a party, leaving a friend's house, going home, and they were jumped by five men between the ages of, I think they said 16 and 21.
It's just great.
Yes, and they were yelling homophobic insults and whatnot, and apparently there is no hate crime law in Virginia that covers sexuality-based crime. So it was 3:30 in the morning. It was a violent attack, but I guess they're both okay, which is fairly positive news.
This is just one of those stories that really reminds us all that we very much need a national hate crimes law. So please, please, please contact your representatives about the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Act. It's so important for exactly this reason. This is a hate crime. It's really important that it be prosecuted as such. So please, please contact your representative. You okay over there?
I'm fine.
What happened?
We'll talk about it later. The other bad
By the way,
news,
folks, that probably means I violated some sort of regulation. But go ahead, Becca.
Okay, so we also had another really negative story. Oh. So, okay, this is the downer of the night.
That we're ending with. Go ahead.
Yeah, this week, an 11-year-old in Massachusetts hung himself after being taunted, being called girly and gay for a period of time. His mother had tried to follow up with the school. The school was not responsive. And so we just want to say, you know, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say to that. An 11-year-old, you know, kids can be cruel, and school districts really need to stay on top of situations like that because it's just, it's unreal that that's
check out
happening.
What's going on in your local high schools, in your local schools, folks. Even starting with the Gay Straight Alliance, we were talking about this with Dean and Joe, checking out if a school has a Gay Straight Alliance. The courts have supported again and again that if a group of students want to start a Gay Straight Alliance, the law supports them doing that. So see if your high school, go check out your old high school and see if they have a Gay Straight Alliance. And if they don't, contact that teacher. There's got to be a teacher still there from whenever you were a student there. I'm just assuming, based on whoever's listening. And if there's not, contact somebody else at the high school and say, I used to go there, and I think having a Gay-Straight Alliance is really important. And see if they can't get one started. Because that's what these support mechanisms are for. It doesn't mean it doesn't even mean a lot of the Gay-Straight Alliances don't even have gay students in them. It just means it's creating a more supporting environment in the school. So please, please contact your high schools. A lot of please tonight. If you want to contact us, there's just a million different ways to do that. And by a million, I mean, you know, three. You can send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. And if you're from Tennessee, send us an email. The first person from Tennessee
from
that writes to us is going to get a magnet. We will mail it to your Tennessee address. Tennessee address. Or go over to thisshowissogay.com, and right there on the homepage, there's a number of different things happening. You can click on our iTunes link and subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can donate money to Andrew's ride from San Francisco, AIDS ride from San Francisco to LA, and he's deep in the process of fundraising. And by the time this podcast posts, we will have a link to Meg Mott's article that we talked about at the start of the show. What about if they want to be around other This Show Is So Gay fans?
They could cluster outside of our window.
Yes.
And yell and scream.
Please know, folks, we haven't talked about it for a while, but it is always an option to gather with other this show is so gay fans outside the window here on Main Street in Brattleboro. But if you want to do that virtually in Cluster, you could certainly go over to Facebook and search for This Show Is So Gay. And some people have had trouble finding it. So you could really just go to thisshowissogay.com. And if you click on contact, there's a link right to our Facebook group. And it's a good way to get announcements about upcoming shows. And we often have contests, and there's just a lot of different things going on. And so in those wee hours of the morning when you're feeling so lonely and
don't call us.
Okay, no, definitely don't call us because we won't pick up. But if you want that connection with other TSISG fans,
you can go to the Facebook
group. Facebook is the place to go. And as we've been saying for the past couple of weeks, WVEW is doing a membership fundraising drive over there on WVEW.org. So if you have $5, and again, as we've said every week, we're shooting for $5, and this is one of the last weeks that we'll be announcing this. If you have $5 to give, we're trying to get a ton of people to donate $5. If you want to give more than that, trust me, we're not going to stop you. And our special promotion, if you give $20, we will send you a magnet. So you just got to let us know at thisshowissogay@AOL.com, and we will send you a free prize for your $20 donation.
And I have been told that we now have to say, at the beginning and end of every show,
go
but I am only doing at the end of this show, the opinions expressed on This Show Is So Gay are those of the hosts and the guests and do not necessarily reflect the positions of WVEW.org.
What? That's bogus. Our opinions represent everyone, don't they? I think they do.
The opinions expressed by Ken are those of Ken.
Filmmaker, do our opinions represent your opinions?
Exactly.
All right.
He
see,
agrees.
There we go. Now, the most important thing on everyone's mind, and I know people have been losing sleep over this. And
American Idol?
No. Who cares? I don't watch
The Idol.
I'm
trying to follow your thought process.
I don't watch The Idol. It's the tagline sign-off contest.
Oh, my goodness.
It's over. We are happy to say, my gosh,
we actually
are happy
got through an entire contest and didn't forget about it.
With an actual winner and everything. So we want to congratulate all the runners-ups. I'm deciding that's a word. So some of the runner-up ideas for the sign-off were, have a nice gay, see you next Wednesday.
Gay you later.
Gay you later. Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
That was a good one. Andrew hates that one.
I know he does. He thinks it sounds like a potential assault.
Later, gator. And gayer, gayest, and even a couple of straights. But those didn't win. But they were. We really appreciate the time that people took to submit these various ideas. But we are very, very proud to announce the winner of the contest and a t-shirt is our loyal listener Carrie, and we're going to sign off with
you
her
the winner.
You're going to hear it every single week now. I think the t-shirt pales in comparison to hearing this tagline every week. So folks, sure. With that, we want everyone to have a most amazing week, and remember, why be just gay when you can be so gay.
You are missing.